Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Happy New Year to everyone listening. This is the Health Reverend speaking. My name is Sandra Teresa Davenport, and tonight is December 31st, 2015. We are facing the 16th year of the 21st century. That means a lot of things to a lot of people. To me, I'll tell you the number one thing that it means. Comically, it means that we all survived Y2K. Do you remember 16 years ago tonight when the world was hovering around, quivering and shaking and carrying on, wondering what in the world was going to happen to us all at the stroke of midnight when the big computer in the sky would shut down and we would all be just left adrift without knowing what to do? Isn't it wonderful to see that we survived it? Not only did we survive that night, but we've done it 15 times since then. I find something very, very exciting, but yet sobering about New Year's Eve. I always have. Now, let me just start by telling you, I have never in my whole life attended a New Year's Eve party, you know, where you have to get dressed up and all the dancing and laughing and kissing and carrying on. I have never done that. And every year about this time, I think maybe I'll do it next year. So who knows? Maybe I'll do it next year. But the other thing about New Year's is, I think this is what it is anyhow, is that New Year's Eve, always takes me back to my childhood when one thing that we can remember about New Year's Eve is that it's cold. It's very, very cold in January, especially in Northeast Georgia. I always had this overwhelming need to be someplace other than where I was. Of course, I couldn't get away from it, but that was a really strange feeling because New Year's Eve always made me feel like something different was supposed to happen than what was happening. I couldn't figure out what it was, but it was kind of like watching the Harlem Globetrotters. You know, every time I watched the Globetrotters, I always felt like they should have been doing something different besides clowning on the court. But I would sit through the whole performance with everybody in the house and laugh and carry on and, you know, pretend to have a good time. Okay, that's enough about that. But tonight is watch night. Speaking of nostalgia, I attended watch night in the early years of my life. I have to say between 6 and maybe 15 or 16. I can't remember when I quit going. But I lived with my grandparents and right here in this very house where I live now in rural Northeast Georgia. And my grandfather, John, was a deacon at the Shady Grove Baptist Church right up the hill there. And they had watch night service and I went along with them. I would do just about anything to be the only child present with them. So that was one way to do it. But I don't think I was the only one who went. I think other children did go too. And then this is how watch night service unfolded. It started at 11, maybe 11:30. And it was always the older people, the teenagers were never there. It wasn't the same as Sunday morning service where people were taking their children with them. It was just a matter of gathering and singing and praying. And to me, it was just another version of prayer meeting, Wednesday night prayer meeting. What I remember, though, is that the singing and the praying happened, and then at midnight, we stood up, we sang a song, and it seems to me that there was a big, big round of applause before we left, and then we left and we went home. And that was the end of it. But this is what else I remember is that there was no explaining it. Nobody ever told me. Nobody ever told me what watch night service was for. I just thought we were going there to watch the old year out and watch the new year in. As a matter of fact, I even heard somebody say that. It could have been my mother, but I remember that, and That's what I thought it was. I was a full adult researching for myself when I learned what Watch Night is. So I have that to offer as well. But the main thing about Watch Night for me, especially tonight, is just that I wanted to do it. I want to do it for a lot of different reasons, but the main reason that I want to do it is because I am a minister. I am a seminary-educated, ordained minister, and I am building a congregation. I have to have something to offer people if they are going to come and join me and give me the position of leadership. So I'm going to officially welcome you. The time is 11:05. I'm going to officially welcome you to my first ever Watch Night service. I didn't play any music when the show opened because two reasons. One, I haven't uploaded any music, although I do have a musician friend who gave me something to play. It's pod safe and legal. But the other reason that I haven't uploaded anything is that I want to sing a song. And that song is entitled When All Children Get Together. If you know it, sing along. It just says, when all God's children get together, what a time, what a time, what a time. We're gonna sit down by the banks of the river. Oh, what a time, what a time, what a time. One more time. When all God's children get together, oh, what a time, what a time, what a time. We're gonna sit down by the banks of the river. Oh, what a time, what a time, what a time. At this point, if we were in church, inside a brick and mortar church, somebody would read a scripture or say a prayer, and then we would go from there. I am going to recite for you a poem that I learned when I was in the ninth grade. I don't know for certain that I always get it in the exact order of the verses, but it's slightly long, so I'm going to say it as it comes to me. The title of this poem is The Psalm of Life, or What the Heart of the Young Man Said to the Poet. And this is what it is. Tell me not in mournful mumbles, life is but an empty dream. For the soul is dead that slumbers. Things are not what they seem. Life is real. Life is earnest. And the grave is not its goal. Dust thou art, to dust returneth, was not spoken of the soul. Art is long, and time is fleeting, and our hearts, though stout and brave, still, like muffled drums or beating, funeral marches to the grave. Lives of great men all remind us we can make our lives sublime, and departing leave behind us footprints in the sands of time. Footprints that perhaps another, sailing over life's solemn main, forlorn and shipwrecked brother, seeing it, may take heart again. Trust no future, however pleasant. Let the dead past bury its dead. Act, act in the living present, heart within, and God overhead. Let us then be up and doing, with the heart for any fate, still achieving, still pursuing. Learn to labor and to wait. Every time I repeat that poem, I repeat it in honor of the ninth grade English teacher, Miss Robbie Mae Franklin, who made me learn it. My sister asked me one time, "Oh, so you learned that? You learned that poem in the ninth grade?" I said, "No, Miss Franklin made me learn it in the ninth grade." But I learned that one and a few others. But that's the one that I always use. I think that's probably my personal scripture, if you wanted to say something of that nature, because it gives me sort of like it's, I'm giving myself a talking to when I read over that poem and when I recite that poem to myself. And I like to recite it. I like the feeling of reciting poetry, reciting the iambic pentameter, perfect rhyming poetry. Now, if we were in a brick and mortar building, at this point, someone would probably say a prayer. Now, I want to leave that a little bit later, but if you have a prayer, just go right ahead. Don't mind me. I've been looking forward to tonight because I remembered as I was recalling my end of year memories from my childhood. Watch Night kept coming with to me, and Watch Night stayed on my mind a lot. And so I'm going to begin with my preparation for tonight. You see, I'm on the internet right now, and I'm talking to people wherever they are. But I have a local radio show that I do on the weekends. And I was discussing Watch Night and my Christmas memories and Kwanzaa on my local radio show. And when I was preparing that, it was when I realized that I didn't know when I was a child Watch Night was. But Watch Night was the time when the Emancipation Proclamation had been signed and enslaved people being what they were and the nature of the system being what it was. They couldn't be certain that, in fact, they were freed. So they went and they gathered in churches waiting for someone to come and tell them the news. And at midnight, the news came. And on the 1st of January, 1866, all former enslaved people were free. According to the sources that I've read and studied, that occasion for the great round of applause, because I can remember when I went to the Watch Night services up the street, that I do remember some applause before we left. And that was that. What I was thinking, though, was that it would have been so wonderful for me when I was 9, 7, or 8, if someone had told me what we were doing in Watch Night service. And the truth, I'm telling you, it is the truth. No one ever did. I wish I had known that happened. I mean, knowing it when I knew it is good. But if I had known that when I was a child, I just would have felt something different. I would have felt, I believe I would have felt a little more boldness or something. But I didn't know it, so I didn't. But I do. I'm glad that I know it, and I'm glad of the history that I can share with you of myself and Watch Night service. You know what else I found out as I was preparing for tonight? That there is a performing group called Watch Night, because I was looking at my Twitter page, and I wanted to be sure of I was checking something over, and I was looking for some hashtags that said Watch Night. And then I said, okay. And so someone said, okay, we're going to be attending. We're coming. And I'm thinking, now, are they talking to me? Because I think not. Okay. So then I looked a little bit further, and I saw that Watch Night is performing somewhere tonight. So those people who say, yeah, we're coming, are not listening to me. I think that's just really interesting. And it is a Black African American performing group. I'd like to find out from them, and I think I'll make that one of my assignments for the week. I'd like to find out from them how they settled on that name. And I may tell you about it one of these days. Another thing that I did to prepare for 11 o'clock was that I drank some tea. Now, if you've ever looked at any of my online information, you know that tea is a big part of my life. And I was tired when I came back today. I went to record my weekly session, and then I was really tired when I came back, and I drank some tea, ate something, and then I lay down for a little bit. But I'll tell you something, tea can fix anything. So I lay down, and then I bounced up again feeling much, much more lively. So I was preparing. Now, there is always in my life, and maybe this is just what life does for people, but in my life, I seem to always be preparing for something. I'm always preparing for something. I'm always doing something, but my doing always seems to be preparing me for something, getting ready for something else. And I imagine that that's a good enough way for it to be. It gives me a feeling of always being in motion, and sometimes it gets to be very wearisome because I would really rather not be in motion. You know, that's just one of those things that happen. And so as I go through my work on this right here where we are gathered tonight, and any other time that you might come across me, I will be working with certain things all the time. One of those things is health, as you know. And one of the things that we do to pursue good health is drink tea. So I will be giving you information about tea. But let me come back now to watch night service. I was also thinking while I was preparing for 11 o'clock, I was wondering how many of my peers remember watch night service. I don't mean what do they know about it, blah, blah, blah. I just mean, do they remember attending it? Because I know I wasn't the only child in the church when I went. I mean, when I was growing up, in our neighborhood, everybody was going to church at some time for some reason. I just wonder if they remember it. And then I was wondering if I'm alone in thinking that it was important, because it was important. And the thing that makes me say that is that I know it was important to the grandparents, the older people in the neighborhood. You could always tell when something was important to them because of the way they approached it, the way that they prepared for it, and you could always look at their demeanor, and you could know that what was going on was a serious affair. You didn't have to wait to hear them say something or sing or pray. But I just wonder who else thinks it's important. Actually, the thought of watch night being forgotten really is too sad for me to even consider. You know, I don't like expressing myself in cliches. And so I won't bother at this point to pull over and talk about all the various excuse me, the various distractions of the modern age. I'm not going to do that. I just want to put us in the mind of listening, looking at what we know about ourselves and holding that up before ourselves as the model or the muse, and not one that's been assigned to us by another people. I have done service online before, but I haven't ever done one that had the same special meaning. And I find myself often wondering about the age that we live in, for example. And a lot often I marvel that we still exist in this world. One of my seminary professors, she used to say that it was a miracle that Black folk was still surviving, or even still on this earth, considering the efforts that went into annihilating us. That says something. It really does. Now, one new person that I learned about here just in the last 24 hours, her name is Tananarive Dwe, an activist, a writer, who my sister told me about, and I was listening to her last night. And she was talking about the way Africans and African Americans and non-white people make use of social media and use it as a way to inform the world about things that the standard media pushes aside. And until that time, until I heard her, I was trying to tell myself that I was going to stop using Facebook. I was just going to give up on Facebook because Facebook was very, very challenging. But after I listened to her, I realized that I didn't have the option of giving it up because she was talking about how Twitter is the modern day version of drumming. And if you recall, drumming was just one of the ways that Africans used to communicate with each other over distances, because as long as you could hear the drum, you could hear a message about what was going on. That brings to mind when I was growing up, there was an occasion where we had homecoming football games, and we didn't have a band at our school, but visiting bands came. And there were two routes that you could take to get from the school to where the parade started. And one band took one route, and the other band took the other route. And they walked in a single file line, and there was a drum beat that they did as they walked. And you could hear them coming. I guess the school was maybe perhaps a mile away, but you could hear them coming all the way from the school to where we were. And I can still remember the thrill of listening to those drums. Both bands had a different beat that they were doing, but you could hear them very distinctly, one from the other. And then when they got to where the lineup was, then they lined up and they stopped their beating. But it was very, very thrilling. I didn't know that it was the resonation of the drums that was causing me to feel that excitement. Oh, yeah, sure. I was excited that we were getting ready to start a parade, but I was so excited to listen to those drums. That was really wonderful. But what I'm going to be doing on my future shows is that I'm going back to what I once did in the past, and that was that every show that I did, there was an IT moment. It was just 5 or 10 minutes when I talked, says something about internet technology, something new that I had learned, or excuse me, or something that I was still working on. But in either case, that's what I will be doing. So we're going to go back to that because I consider that very, very, very crucial. So I was talking about using social media, and then I was talking about the drumming, and I was talking about the woman who I discovered last night. And then everything that has come across my come to my notice here in the last few weeks has somehow connected me back to tonight, bringing me back to watch night once again. I feel like I'm always, I guess that's what it is. Maybe I feel like I'm always watching out for something. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe I just feel like I am waiting to find out if something is going to happen in a certain fashion. And then I can relax and I can be relieved. Maybe that's what it is. But excuse me. I just thought about that just right now as I said it. I would sure love to hear what somebody else thinks about that, because I live with that feeling. I want to also tell you again, as I said, I have to always tell you something about health whenever we meet. And one of the things, what I want to tell you is that January is National Hot Tea Month. I haven't found out yet how it got to be January or who decided when it was first celebrated or any of that, but this is National Hot Tea Month, and, well, I want you to resolve one thing. I want you to resolve to do something really, really simple to help you improve your health. And I will tell you that the simplest and the cheapest thing that you can do outside of sleeping regular hours every night, the simplest thing that you can do to improve your health is to drink tea. And I often suggest that people begin with white tea because it has the least amount of caffeine in it. And some people are very, very sensitive to caffeine. So I always suggest that people start with white tea. Then I want you to consider the kale shake, okay? I really want you to go back to, I want you to remember to drink a kale shake every day. I think it's very, very important to for us to be well. And I know just how easily these things can happen for us. So that's why I keep pushing and pushing and pushing these things. Besides which, that is my work. That's my job. You know, I am a minister of health, so I have to always be doing that. I want you to understand something. There are people who say that we who live in the South are in the worst health of anybody in the country. And those same people say that we Black people who live in the South are in the worst health of all. Now, that can be true. But, you know, a lot of the things that they leave out are very, very simple. And one of those things is that your health can be maintained, retained, regained, enhanced by doing some very simple things. Like I just said, drinking tea is one of those things. But another thing that you can do is sleep regular hours. Now, the reason I push sleep so much is because when your body is sleeping, that is when it is repairing itself. When you're sleeping is also when your body loses weight. When you're sleeping, your body is cleansing itself. Your body is able to fight off not just physical disorders and diseases, but also stress, depression, other mental imbalances. Now, if you're going to say that you can't do all that much sleeping because you have too much to do, well, I suggest that you decide something, and this is what I want you to decide. I want you to decide whether you want to live score years and 10, or whether you want to live for 120 years. Because another thing that's left out, and this doesn't come from the medical profession, this comes from the preaching profession, is that Genesis 6 and 10 says the length of your days will be 120 years. So it is important that you decide which one of those you want and then get after it. Because it doesn't take a lot of work. It does take a lot of effort. There's two columns that you have when you start moving toward health or anything, I imagine. One column is what you do. One column is what you don't do. One column is what you seek out. One column is what you avoid. So in my future messages, you will hear me talk relentlessly about what we can do to live a long time and live well. Now, you remember the name of my ministries is Living Well Ministries, so it is my obligation to see to it that you are indeed living well. Okay, so now I want to say one other thing about IT, and that is this. If you are interested in freeing yourself financially, you owe it to yourself to learn how to do it online. There is never going to be a better time to be alive than the days that we presently are living. If you've ever told a story, if you've ever done anything and told it to anybody who found it interesting, then sit down and start writing that out and turn it into a book. And then create yourself some videos. Learn, look at some videos, and find out what it is that you'll do best and get after it. Because I'm sure you know this, but the time of getting a job, especially a good job, not going to happen anymore. So I believe that whenever a black minister gathers and holds the attention of listeners, especially black listeners, for any amount of time, we are obligated, we are duty bound to do more than just sing and pray. Now, I haven't done much singing, it's true, but I have an obligation. I have a calling to teach and to preach. And that's what I do. I feel that it is gravely important for us to look at today, the opening of a new year, in terms of what we will be doing in another year. Last year in December, I had a conversation with a friend of mine about buying a house. And he said to me, okay, Sandra, let's don't have the same conversation 2015 in December. And it was very clear that he was speaking something to me that he was very serious about. Now, if you have a conversation with yourself tonight, and I suggest that you do, or tomorrow, and you talk to yourself and you make some decisions for yourself about what you're going to do for the next 365 days and how you're going to do it and where you're going and how you're going to get there, then when we meet again next time for this same service, you will have a list of accomplishments to match your list of goals, what you expect from yourself, what you intend to exact from yourself. So that when it gets to be August and September and October, you won't have to be saying, you won't have to say to somebody, oh my goodness, the year sure did get away fast. Well, you know, a lot of times I think people say that, well, I feel pretty sure that they mean it, because it does seem sometimes that time passes quickly. And people will often tell you that, oh yeah, time goes even faster now that I'm getting older. I don't know if that, any of that is true, but I do know that every day passes 1 minute at a time. I know that every day has a full 24 hours in it, and I know that it is my obligation to do this. Fill the unforgiven minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run. That is the thing that I'm after. I know that there is a distraction, that any good thing that you would get after has an equal and opposite thing that would distract you from it. Now, some people tell you that that's the devil trying to keep you from doing things. Other people tell you that it's just because you're lazy and unfocused. I'm not going to tell you either one of those, except that I know it to be true. But I also suggest to you that, oh, we're doing a lot of poetry tonight. I suggest to you that you alone are the captain and the master of your fate. And as soon as you make that acceptance, you will see, it's almost like parting the waters, you will see your life changing before your very eyes. And it's an exciting proposition. It could be daunting to a lot of people, and I'd imagine that that's why so many people make so many false starts. I'm sure that that's why we had that conversation last year. Let's not have this conversation again next year. I'm sure that's what happened, because he had seen me do that before, and he didn't want to see it again. Well, I don't want him to see me do it again either. But let's just resolve. If we are going to make a resolution tonight, let's resolve, while we sit and watch the new year in and watch the old year out, let us take and look and watch over what goes out of us from last year and what comes into us from next year. You follow me? Let me give you an example. Last year, if you ate cereal for breakfast or toast or pancakes for breakfast, and if last year this time you didn't weigh as much as you do today, then you have to resolve that next year this time you're not going to weigh more than you do today. Because all that stuff I just named is sugar. And sugar is not your friend. Now, that's a very, very simple example of what to do for yourself. But the other thing is that whatever you resolve to do, once you resolve to do it, it gets a lot easier. It really does. Watch night has endless implications for anyone with any amount of awareness of his world, her world. And I know that awareness is kind of a, what should I say, nebulous thing, and it's different for everybody. But once you become aware of yourself in a certain fashion, you won't be willing to be mediocre anymore. You just won't. You'll understand what a great thing you are, and you'll be after it, and you'll get it. I want to just congratulate you on the year that just passed. I'm sure you did the best you could, and that's always something to applaud. And I want to congratulate you on every little accomplishment that you had. And I know you probably had a lot. And I want to encourage you to stay with it. Stay with it and don't let go until you get just what you want, just exactly how you want it. And then when we meet next year, you will be calling in and telling me some great things that you've done. Now, in the remaining quarter, let's return to something that I consider very, very important, and that is health. I want to tell you that I want you to know that we have a lot of work to do, but the work that we have to do is very simple, and that is that we have another year to live. We don't have any choice. We are going to live for another year. And so we might just as well resolve to live well. And being that I'm certain we're all going to resolve to live well, then let me help you. Just give me a chance to help you to live well. But you know one thing? Living well has a lot of different pieces to it. It's living well doesn't stop just because you have some creature comforts. No, it doesn't stop when you have. It doesn't ever stop. Let me put that in another way. It doesn't ever stop. It is fragmented. There are a lot of different pieces to it. It's when you have good health. It's when you have compatible company. When you have dependable friends. When you have a safe, clean place to live. When you have a happy place to live. When you have developed interest that you pursue. When you have hobbies that you enjoy, those are the things, all those things are pieces that go into living well. But I still say that it all begins with physical health. I know that you might sometime hear me say it the other way around, but I don't think living well physically can be separated from living well emotionally and psychologically, but I just know that tomorrow is not only going to be a new year, but tomorrow we're going to be in a new world. It's not that it's going to change overnight, but it is going to change. It's been changing. I guess it's been changing since the beginning. The thing is that it's happening. It's very interesting to look at. You can't decide if it's happening at warp speed or if it's happening at a snail's pace. But it is. You know, it just is. And at some point, you might feel that you've been overwhelmed by it all. And it might be that you feeling overwhelmed, you might just stop and let somebody else do it. But that's not the thing to do. Mm-mm. You can't do that, because if you don't do it, I want to ask you, who will? So I'm going to now give you a little bit more exegesis by way of a poem, another poem. This one you know. I'm sure you know this one. It actually is just the words of Lift Every Voice and Sing. It's a prayer. Lift every voice and sing. Till earth and heaven ring. Ring with the harmonies of liberty. And this is the end of it. This is the thing. These words are the words that I really love. God of our weary years, God of our silent fears, Thou who has brought us thus far on the way, Thou who has by Thy might led us into the light, keep us forever in the path, we pray. Lest our feet stray from the places, our God, where we met Thee. Lest our hearts drunk with the wines of the world, we forget Thee. Shadowed beneath Thy hand, may we forever stand true, true to our God, true to our native land. Amen. I really want to thank you for joining me, because I feel really lonely and distant and far away. I feel sometimes far away from everybody that I know and everybody that I look like. And it's not a feeling that I easily reckoned with. But, you know, it's not that all the time I feel that, but I do feel it sometimes. And it might just be because I'm tired that I feel it more tonight. Or it might just be because it's dark. I don't know. But I do feel that way. So I appreciate you joining me. What we're going to do, my next show comes on very soon after this one. It comes on, I have another episode coming on the 3rd, Sunday. No, that's not true. I have another one coming tomorrow, the 1st, and it's going to be Who is Sandra Teresa Davenport, and why should I listen to her? So I'm going to reintroduce myself, and then I'll be again on the 3rd, my regularly scheduled show, and I will be hosting a friend from Quincy, Illinois, Susan Asher, who is the proprietor of Time Out Tea Parties. And we are going to officially open National Hot Tea Month. So I hope that you will be back. I know I will. Sandra Teresa Davenport, the Health Reverend. Good night and Happy New Year. Bye.